Kiora, this is Lorna Johnson, and you're listening to Making Palmy Home. And my guest this morning is Carrie Heisted. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning, Lorna.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm good. So it's a bit of a chilly morning here, but we've gathered together in,
yes.
In the warm studio.
Yeah, the sun's out, so that's always a positive.
Yeah, it's not too bad, is it? So, Carrie, thank you for agreeing to come on to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing in Palmerston North.
Well, I arrived here a few years ago with my family of three. And originally we came on a temporary basis, but we now call Palmy home.
That's cool.
My husband and I are both in healthcare, and I dabble in some things on the side. But we have a daughter that goes to one of the local high schools, and just really enjoying our life here and having a good work-life balance.
That's good. And I think that's something that people often talk about when they move here from another country, is that there is a much better balance between work, home, and actually having a bit of free time to do some extra stuff here.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yes.
So what are some of the little things that you dabble in on the side? That we can talk about on the radio, of course.
I'm on the spot now. Well, I did start a company a couple of years ago now. I'm originally from Texas, and I moved from Texas back in 06 and lived several areas in the U.S. before coming to New Zealand. But I always missed that taste of home. And so I started making some salsas and hot sauces in a Texas style that I grew up in, just for fun, really. And then it's kind of developed into its own little company. And that's one of my things I do on the side.
So you're making them commercially now, are you?
Yes, I am. Yes, I do. I make them at in my home. It's like a commercial rated or verified kitchen.
And
I've got some retailers along the North Island and one on the South, and it's just,
Oh, so not, so New Zealand wide then?
Yes, yes.
So I haven't seen these hot sauces.
Oh.
So can you tell us the name? We're not allowed to do like big advertising, but I'm sure we can say the name.
The name of the company is Tex As Salsas.
Oh, very cool. And so you've got it in some places in Palmy. It's available, is it?
I do, yeah.
Yes. Okay, that's, and so, When you sort of started doing these recipes, had you been interested in cooking and doing the salsas before, or is it being away from home that kind of got you doing
it more? Probably a little of both. I love cooking.
Yeah.
That's one of my hobbies. And like I said, moving from Texas, you can imagine the U.S. is quite large. So living in different regions, the food can be very different. So moving around, I never found really what we liked as a family.
Yeah.
So I just started creating them years ago. And of course, moving halfway across the world, why would I ever expect to find anything similar here?
Yeah.
And I kind of drew on the diversity of Palmy and New Zealand in general that I thought, why not share a little bit of like where I'm from with other people? So, and food always, well, tends to bring people together. So
it's funny how often people mention food, actually.
Yeah.
It's one of those really things that really makes us feel home when we've got the foods that we're used to, I think.
Absolutely,
yeah.
That little bit of comfort, yes.
So you said that when you first came, it was just on a temporary basis. How long were you intending to stay?
Well, like I said, my husband and I are both in healthcare.
Right.
It's our primary roles professionally. And we were both quite burnt out in the U.S. And we'd always wanted to practice somewhere outside the U.S. My husband's actually Canadian, but Canada was too similar to the U.S.
We
wanted to really, and we thought, all right, we're not doing well with work-life balance.
Yeah.
We have no time. Let's go see what we can find. And we'd actually been to New Zealand a few years prior on a holiday, but we only get 2 weeks of holiday, basically, in the when you work over in North America. So we didn't get to see much, but we saw enough to think, we want to come back and see more of New Zealand.
Yeah.
And how can we do that and still, you know, live and, you know, have work and
make
things
a living,
like that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Support ourselves. So It took a couple of years, but my husband got a contract and we came over. I actually didn't work at all that first year. We just traveled. But 2 months into that year, we thought, we just want to make this permanent. So in retrospect, my husband wanted to sell everything and just move that year. And I thought, oh, no. Like, you know, if you go somewhere on holiday, everything's really great. And you're like, oh, I can live here. But it's quite different than actually moving somewhere to start a new life. So, yeah. So that first year, we actually did see a lot of New Zealand. But then we, towards the end of that first year, we just backed off because we knew we were coming back. He had already accepted a permanent position. Knew, but we just still had to go back to the States and kind of clean up our life there because we still had a whole life there with the house and our vehicles and everything. So that took a little bit longer than we anticipated. But so we had a gap of about 9 months.
Right.
Just paperwork and getting things for immigration and, you know.
Yes. Quite an involved process. I do know.
Yes,
it's quite
yes,
an involved
yes.
process.
It is, yes. So, we came back the winter of 2018 when we received our permanent residency last year. And so when the time comes, we'll apply for our citizenship and just kind of, and this is our home now, you know.
Yeah,
so.
You feel settled.
Yes.
Yeah. And was there something particular about Palmerston North?
Well, in the beginning, just to be honest, it was really about finances.
Yeah.
It was just a better offer here than there was a couple other places on the North Island. But then now, in retrospect, I couldn't imagine being anywhere else. That first year, like I said, I did not work. And our daughter was younger then, so she's a teenager now, so she doesn't want to do too many things that are uncool. But, there was so much going on here for families. I feel like it's a great place to raise a family. And with that being said, free activities, and that's what really got me connected with the community, I think, in that first year. Not having a purpose career-wise because I wasn't working, I really needed some outlet. So the first group I joined, and you'll know some of the people in that, was Global Parent Support.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So I met who are now my dear friends. And so I just jumped into doing some volunteer work. And in between the times we were, traveling around, seeing things in New Zealand. So, yeah.
I think that's a really good point about how to sort of begin to develop a network in a new country, because if you don't immediately have a job, and many people don't, or if they do have work, it maybe isn't in their field of expertise.
Yes,
I think it's really hard otherwise to get out and meet people.
Absolutely, It was hard, especially coming as an older adult. Well, I mean, we were in our 40s, but starting trying to make new friends that, we reflect on this as a family quite often that, immigrating here for us, was it hard? No. I mean, and some of that comes back to privilege, I think.
Yeah.
But it was so eye-opening, and we, like I said, we still talk about it today that, we came here, basically everything was handled by my husband's job.
Yeah.
We're educated, we had resources both, financially and through his job. We spoke English.
Yeah.
And then so we think, how hard is that for people who don't have one or all of those, resources? And it really was eye-opening, we felt, in that way. So to say it was hard, no, it was inconvenient,
Yeah, I know. It's
and
all
uncomfortable,
relative, isn't it?
And uncomfortable,
yeah.
Because, we didn't really – and now that being said, we, like I said, that first year we were out and about and we didn't settle too long to make new friends because we were going to see the country, right? So it was a little both, so –
No, I mean, I think you make a good point there. I suppose sometimes people assume that if you do come with, a job and a English speaking and from what people would see as a similar Western style culture, that that you'll just slot in quite easily. I don't think that's always the case, though.
No.
And I think certainly just, you know, looking back on our experience, people assumed we would know lots of stuff that we actually didn't know.
And it's not always the big thing. It's little things like, you know, we bought a car, like, we didn't know to go to the, the post to register your vehicle. It's just little things, like, which, again, in the grand scheme, it was inconvenient, you know. It wasn't hard, and I even feel a little bit guilty saying it was inconvenient. You know, like, we had so much going for us that many people don't, you know, and so it was... Yeah, eye-opening, especially to applying for immigration, because the first year that was all handled. When we came back to be permanent, you know, for a permanent home, we had to fill all the paperwork out. Like, oh, it was like hundreds and pages and this and that. And it's like, oh, wow, you know, it's just eye-opening. And, you know, you have to add up your points on how you can come. And we got points. We didn't get the most points for our age, but that was a...
Yeah, I do remember the point system. Because we came for my husband's work, and I remember feeling outraged that I was only worth 1 point.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think those processes going through all of that is... it is a bit of an eye-opener when you've been living quite comfortably in your home country and never had to do any of that process stuff.
And at the end of the day, whether you come here as a refugee or an immigrant from a non-English, whatever your reason for here, you're still an outsider.
That's right.
Yeah. You're an outsider, and you come here, and there are people that try to, that I know, that have also immigrated, especially from the U.S., that try to change. And it's like, no, you need to, you know, blend in, and this is part of your home now, and bring new ideas, but recognize that, you know, this is, you're the immigrant here, you know? So it is. It's not something I thought I would be doing at my age. I thought, you know, I should have maybe done more of this in my when I was in my early 20s, but... Here we are, and we wouldn't have changed. I mean, we wouldn't have changed anything, really. I mean, there's little things along the way we would have done differently, but yeah.
That's cool. Well, that's a good place to take a little musical break, and we're going to listen to some music that Carrie has chosen. Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Ah, yeah. So, as you heard, I grew up in Texas, and country music, obviously, and rodeo were very strong influences in my upbringing. My dad was a member of the livestock show and rodeo, but George Strait, he's known as the King of Country, and he's a native Texan, so we'll have a little piece. Reminds me of home, takes me back.
That's perfect. Okay, let's have a listen.
Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio. Everything that I got is just what I've got on. When that sun is high in that Texas sky, I'll be bucking at the county fair. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo, I'll be there. They took my saddle in Houston, broke my leg in Santa Fe, lost my wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the way. I'll be looking for aid when they pull that gate, and I hope that judge ain't blind. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo's on my mind. Amarillo by morning,
So we're back on Making Palmy Home, and today's guest, Carrie Heisted from Texas.
Yes.
So thanks for that lovely piece of music. That was great. Now, Carrie, tell us a little bit about the difference in your day-to-day life today, now that you're sort of well settled, compared to, say, when you came in 2016. So you've had more or less 5 years, I suppose, in New Zealand. How have things changed?
Right. I feel like I'm more involved in the community, and then I'm also busier now with work. So community-wise, I'm still involved with Global Parent Support, and I do try to volunteer when I can with other organizations. But mainly, we have our set date, not daily schedule, but you know, this is our life here now. Whereas in the beginning, that first year, it was more still like a holiday, even though it wasn't. We were like, right, where are we going this weekend? Yeah. Where are we going? Because, you know, my husband's a shift worker, so especially in school holidays, we just take off and do this and that. But now we're grounded here. Like, this is our community, and we don't leave as much, you know, and we seek out things to do here in town, or, you know, and we have made friends, you'll be glad to know, over the last few years. We do have some friends, and we get together with them. And honestly, spending more time at home, as we only have one child, but so we've been a party of three for a long time. She's 15, but we're used to having that. But now we're actually getting to know each other, but I think the last 5 years has given us that extra time and downtime at home to just,
So do you think, because you said that one of your motivations in moving was looking for a bit better home-work-life balance.
Yes.
So do you think that you've found that now?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And on that note, you know, when we decided to move back permanently, of course, friends and family were like, well, what's wrong with here? Why are you doing this?
Yeah,
and you're
do,
halfway, you know. Yeah. And we're like, look, we, you know, obviously we'd lived several places in the U.S. for work and, you know, education and things like that. And, you know, we were just unsettled in our last home. Even though we had wonderful friends that we're still in contact with, it just wasn't what for us. Yeah. And we could have moved around the U.S. to try to find it, but we came here that year and found it here. So,
That's good. So you were talking about Global Parents Network support.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about what they do.
Right. So, is it 5 years now they were founded? They had just started a few months before I came the first year, the first time we moved. And it's a group of parents. We have one dad in the group, but it's mainly moms. And we are all from different backgrounds, came here for different reasons, different, you know. And so one of our primary things is we go around some of the primary schools, and our goal is to spread just cultural diversity and share a little bit about our home, kind of reflective of Palmy in general, you know. It's and we held a global festival in July. We'll be in the library. So we really try to just jump into the community and just really share a little bit about us, and in doing so, try to promote that diversity.
Yeah. And I guess the schools now are becoming very multicultural themselves.
Yes.
And so did you get a good response from schools? They feel that this was a good initiative that helped support them?
Yes, I think so. We'd reached out to many of the – and it's mainly geared to primary, honestly.
Yeah.
Because, you know, once they hit – intermediate and then even high school, they're just too busy, and they're
too cool to do that.
They're just not honestly. I wouldn't say not interested. That's too strong. But anyway,
they've got different things.
But no, we'd love to go to all the primaries. Yeah. But we, you know, we've only done it a handful. Like, we just recently, 2 weeks ago, were at Riverdale, and they have an annual cultural day anyway. And so we represented three countries of, I think they had like 10 or 12, like other parents there that weren't part of Global Parent. Mm-hmm. But quarterly we do Global Kitchen. So that's where we, again, take younger children and teach them a little, eat simple finger food to make, and from where we're, you know, our culture, and they seem to enjoy that. And gosh, I don't know. We do all kinds of little, we're kind of here and there and all over.
Well, I certainly see lots of activities popping up, maybe in the library.
Yes.
Global Parent
Network. Yep, yep. We do. Yeah.
So I think it's good that we're getting these new initiatives. There are, you know, obviously organisations have been around for a long time doing good work in this space. Yeah. But I think more and more we're getting, you know, some new ideas coming in and some little new initiatives which are, you know, keep people on their toes, I suppose, and keep them interested. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, some New Zealanders, or even if you're an immigrant here, you may never get to visit the U.S., much less Texas, and you may not want to know anything about it. But I feel like as a community, as a citizen in our community, that it's my job to share that if you are willing to receive it.
Yeah.
And I think that's how we learn from each other, and we have a greater, acceptance of, you know, when it gets down to it, we're all pretty similar, if you get down to the root of things. So,
and I think sharing something like food or you know, something that is easy for people to relate to, that's always a winner.
Yes. Really. Yeah. No, absolutely.
So, if you think about, you know, your experience of settling, were there particular challenges, and are there things that we could do better as a city, maybe, to be more welcoming to people coming to settle here?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think in our case, it was just not knowing, like, you know, that old saying, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe on our end of things, if we just didn't think outside the box to go, okay, right, there's a resource center. I feel like there's a lot of resources here. I don't know.
I think it maybe takes a little bit of time just to find things out, really.
True, yeah. I mean, obviously having, you know, ambassadors, and especially like with the refugee community, people coming in, you have support in that way. But there's always, I don't know, to me, we've always been a little bit independent that way, and we'll just find out ourselves. But
But that's good as well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think if there's a theme that's come across maybe from me talking to people, who've migrated to Palmerston North, everybody seems to be quite what I call like a tough cookie. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like everyone seems to be quite strong and a sort of resilient kind of a person, you know?
Yes.
And I think that maybe is a quality that helps when you're moving countries.
I guess, yeah. Yeah, I definitely. I mean, to pick up and move over, you know, not obviously being here before on a holiday, but not really living here.
Yeah.
You have to, and I recognize some people move here for other reasons. They don't have that choice to pick where they want to go.
Yeah, some people are in a forced migration.
Exactly.
Situation.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
And I think, going back to seeking out members in the community and getting involved, I think human nature is we tend to, you know, migrate to our own cultural group because that makes you comfortable and you know, these people and their customs. And it can be quite, I can imagine it can be quite hard to step out of that to integrate more in the community. So not trying to make it sound so easy.
So is there a kind of a little expat Texan group
interesting. I've met two other Texans here in Palmy that I did not know in Texas. There are a lot of expats, especially within the DHB, and a few with Massey, but I think and we have a couple of friends that we actually knew, my husband knew back in the 90s, that live up in Gisborne. So we have our little pockets, but I don't.
Seek it out?
I don't. No. I was going to say, I don't want this to come out wrong because I am, I like pretty much everyone, but I don't seek out. We're here to integrate. This is our home.
Yeah.
And if you seek out just staying in that group, then why don't you just live at home back home? I don't know. To me, that's how.
Yeah. Oh, no, I totally get it. Because I do remember when we first arrived, you know, and taking the children to kindy, and the kindy teacher saying, oh, this person's from the UK.
Exactly.
And this person's from the UK. And I didn't want to be rude, but I felt like, I'm not interested.
I know. Exactly. You don't want to be rude. That's happened to me at a few events. Yeah. People are like, oh, I want you to meet so-and-so. She's from the US.
Yeah.
And obviously, I'm happy to do that. And it's they're lovely people, but it's quite interesting. And it goes back to that whole, you know, when you're in a, when you move outside of your own cultural group or home, you tend to migrate. And I think it's just most people think, but yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think that's been a very interesting conversation, honestly. It's given me pause for thought about a few things as well, so it's good.
Yeah.
So we're just about out of time. Is there any kind of thing that you would like to finish up on? Is there something particular that you want to talk about?
I don't know.
That's all right. Well, I certainly have been inspired to try one of the salsas. Anyway. that's what I'm going to give a go. And I'm just really grateful that you spared the time to come and talk on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been great. Yeah,
it's good. I think you're my first guest from the continent of America. So that's excellent.
Yes.
Good. All right. So thanks very much, Carrie. You've been a great guest. And people who've been listening to Making Palmy Home, I'm Lorna Johnson. And you can catch the podcast on npr.nz/show/Making Palmy Home. Cheerio.